I was 11 when my dad bought our first car. Maybe someone, could you do that manually for me, please? Thank you. There we are. Our first car, a Hillman Husky. And the parking of that rusty Husky on our driveway sparked a race. You see, neither mum nor dad, nor my two oldest brothers, who were old enough to drive, could drive. So the race was on to see who could pass their test the first. Thankfully, they all passed first time. Unlike the Tunbridge Wells driver, who took the theory test 53 times before passing, I won't ask if you're here this morning, this evening rather. But they weren't the worst. In 2012, a 42-year-old from Leicester had 158 attempts. I wonder if perhaps you're living your life like it's a bit of a test. Perhaps you could, there we are. Do you remember those days? Perhaps you live your whole life like it's a bit of a test, and perhaps Christmas, these next few days, will feel like something of a test. So maybe your parents or your in-laws will be with you over Christmas, and you'll feel as though they're constantly judging you and how you do Christmas. Is the turkey cooked properly? Are the roast potatoes crispy? And most important of all, are the Brussels sprouts overcooked? If you have children, however young or old they are, you may feel as though they are always judging you, watching you, assessing what you're doing. And you don't want to fail their test. And then, of course, if you're at work, there's the performance appraisals, the targets, the boss who's constantly looking over your shoulder. And for those who use social media, TikTok, Instagram and so on, it feels as if the whole world is judging you. So you only post what makes you look good. And, of course, these days with AI on your phone, you can adjust so you can get the perfect image to show your perfect self to the whole world, to your critical followers. All these people watching, assessing, testing you. And we haven't even thought about our own self-assessment, the way we test ourselves. Living life constantly under the judgment is so terribly stressful. It induces massive performance anxiety, perhaps especially in our teenagers. Now, if you believe in God, if you ever think about him, you may imagine that he is testing and examining you as well. And indeed, he is. But the way that God examines and tests us is both very predictable and very surprising. Surprising in two ways. First, God's assessment, God's judgment of us is predictable because, yes, he is your ultimate examiner, your judge. But perhaps not in the way you think. You see, if God's test is like the driving test, then we do our best and we hope to pass. We do our best to live a good life, to love our neighbour as best we can. Perhaps even we try to love God. But let's face it, we always disappoint ourselves. We fail to live up to our own standards, let alone God's. So we constantly say to ourselves, never mind, failed again, I'll try again. And again. And again. And again. Until at our final examination, we hope we'll have improved just enough to pass. Or perhaps that God will accept our excuses like a naive teacher who believes you when you say the dog ate your homework. But here's the first surprise. God is far stricter than you could ever imagine because he loves you far more than you would ever dream. So, says Jesus, and we can see these words on the screen. Jesus says, on the day of judgment, people will give account For every careless word they speak, and everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. And they're the words of Jesus. And they sound incredibly harsh, don't they? But you see, if people didn't matter, if you and I did not matter, if we were not supremely valuable and valued by God, then careless words, unjustified anger, insults wouldn't matter. They wouldn't matter to him. But people do matter to God. You matter to God, and therefore careless words matter to him. Anger matters to him. Insults matter to him. Now, of course, if you're one of those who believes that we are nothing more than accidents of random selection, as some people do, then nothing we do to one another matters one jot. I am just one accident doing an accidental thing to you who is just another accident. It does not matter. But because God himself carefully crafted each and every one of us in his image, in his likeness, we matter. We matter to him. We have real value, real significance, real importance. And so God loves us. He cares about what we do to one another. But we need to press on and go further than this. Yes, it matters greatly how we treat one another, because we are, each and every one of us, significant, deeply significant. And yet, God is infinitely more significant than any one of us. That means how we treat him is infinitely more important than how we treat one another. The consequences of mistreating God must be infinitely more significant than how we treat one another. So, when God's angel messengers appear, did you notice what happened? People are afraid. People are afraid. We think of angels as being sweet little primary school children dressed up for the nativity in tinsel wings, a tinsel halo, and a white dress. But Mary was greatly troubled. Zechariah was startled and gripped with fear. And the shepherds were terrified at the sight of an angel. Why? Because they assumed that they were in trouble with God. They assumed that they were in trouble. In fact, they assumed that if they so much as heard the voice of God, they would be judged, found guilty, and die. But wait, here's the second surprise. What does the angel say? Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. So great good news replaces great fear with great joy. The fear of failure, the anxiety of being judged, ultimately even the fear of hell, is replaced with the good news of great joy. And that good news is this: today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. Now, we've seen, haven't we, that even our careless words, our anger, our insults will be severely judged by God, because we matter, because you matter. It's only when we're acutely aware of our failure and the just penalty from God It's only when we fear for our own future with God that we're ready to hear the good news of a Saviour. You see, no one calls the lifeboat until they see that they're half a mile offshore, moving further and further away from land, and no matter how hard they paddle, they're still going further out. No one calls the lifeboat, no one dials 999 until they realise they're in trouble. And then, when they see the lifeboat coming over the horizon, skimming across the waves at full speed, that's good news of great joy. So, here we are. Here we are, faced with the reality of God's judgment, his judgment on our careless words, our anger, our insults to people who are so loved by God. But more than that, his judgment on our turning away from him, turning against him. And aware of just how much danger we've got ourselves into, we hear the good news of great joy. A Saviour has been born to you. As the angel said to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph gave the baby the name Jesus because he will save you from your sins. Now, of course, in those days, many children would have been called Jesus or Joshua in the language of the day. But only one could save people from their sins. Every day, when Mary and Joseph called him in for supper or greeted him at the breakfast table, or as Joseph asked him for a chisel in the workshop, whenever they used his name, it would have been a reminder of the angel's words. You are to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This child, their child, would save his people from their sins. And that is exactly what you and I need today. We do not want to fail the test, God's test, but we do, and we will. But God sent Jesus to save us from our sins and the judgment that follows. He comes to bring us forgiveness, bring forgiveness for you and for me, to restore a relationship with God where there is no fear, but rather we can call him Father. Our Father in heaven. So this Christmas, why not come to Jesus? Why not receive his forgiveness? Be freed from the fear of failure, the anxiety of not measuring up. Enjoy becoming a child of God our Heavenly Father. And like Mary, treasure this, treasure Jesus, and ponder him in your heart. And like the shepherds, return home even tonight, return home glorifying and praising God for all he has done for you personally tonight. Well, let's turn to him now. In prayer, let us pray. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that each one of us here tonight is loved more than we ever dreamt of. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent the Lord Jesus to rescue us and to restore us to yourself. Help us to receive him, to accept him, to trust him, to put us right with you, so that we might have a secure future, a hope for tomorrow, and freedom from performance anxiety. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.